Yo, Brokey, what's happening?
Yo, Brokey. All right, how are you?
Doing great, doing great. Having
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, for anybody who's kind of following along, last week we did not have our standard Wednesday recording published on Thursday because my kids had spring break and we decided we were going to go to New York City for the week, and had a pretty good time there. The girls' first time in New York City, Lila and Charlotte, their first time in New York City. And so we took the opportunity to take them to all the normal tourist attractions. We did the first day we were there, we were actually staying in Times Square. Have you ever been to New York, Dad?
I have not.
Oh, man. You have to go at least once. I mean, it's a fantastic city to visit.
To be honest with you, it's not on my bucket list, though. It's just not.
Well, you could go there and go to like Yankee Stadium or City Field or something. Go catch a ball game.
Have you ever been to Costa Rica?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So that's where we stand on those. Okay. On those topics.
But so we took them to Central Park. We went to a couple different landmarks there. There was an Alice in Wonderland statue, the Bethesda statue.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then there's a couple different areas over there. The girls, I took them to a chess area so they could play chess in the park, which is kind of, it's like one of those things you see in the movies all the time. So I thought that'd be pretty cool. Then the next day we decided we were going to go to like the financial district. We went down and saw the Charging Bull and got pictures with that. It's like that bronze bull that's down, on Wall Street. I showed him Wall Street and took pictures and stuff. And then I met up with a buddy of mine that I used to work with a couple jobs ago, Paul, another Paul. I mean, I've got like eight different Pauls that are in my life. they're all the best people though. That's the crazy thing. So we went with him. We went and had a great dinner at this Irish place. He's actually from Ireland, so he's got a couple different Irish areas that he like, restaurants and bars that he likes to go to when we're out there. And so he took us to his a local place he likes to go to, so we did that.
Good eats there, huh?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had
what
did I have? Bangers and mash when I was there, and then the girls just got chicken fingers. It was nothing super special for them.
Of course,
they weren't like into it.
Well, your brother actually ordered a hot dog. I think we were at a Chinese restaurant one time, and it's like who orders a hot dog in a Chinese restaurant? So it took about, I don't know, probably about 10 or 15 minutes for them to come out and like try to figure out what he ordered.
Right.
Again, so they took his order again. And it was another 15 or 20 minutes before they brought it out. I think they had to go across the parking lot and across the street to go get his hot dog and bun bring it back.
That's pretty awesome that they decided to go get it.
We were already eating at that time.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool, though. They were like, it's not on the menu, but we'll make it happen.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. You're right.
What else did we do? We walked the Brooklyn Bridge. We walked across that. That was something Jill had always wanted to do. So it's like, I think a mile across or something. It's not too bad. But, I mean, we ended up walking. It was crazy. So I have one of those fitness trackers that I wear everywhere. And it, keeps track of all your steps and everything. And I think we averaged around 18,000 steps a day. And the girls, they handled it pretty well. I was really, really proud of them. They managed it. The only time they really complained was the last day, and I kind of screwed up. We went from the Brooklyn Bridge. We went down and got some real New York style pizza, and then we took the subway to Grand Central Station. And then, Grand Central Station is gorgeous. If you've ever seen it in the movies, I mean, it's exactly the way you would imagine it in the movies. There's tons of people walking around. It's crazy. But then when we left from there, I was like, oh, well, it's not too far from the hotel. Like I was looking at my map and it didn't look very far. I was like, it looks like it's about 8 blocks or something like that. It ended up being like 20 blocks and we ended up going the wrong way to start out. So it was probably longer than that.
No.
They were pissed. Everybody was pissed at me. And I'm like, we're not going to take a cab and spend $40 to get back to the hotel from here. It's not that far away. So, we did that. We flew back on the red eye. We actually got the girls up at like 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday to fly back. And they handled, they actually handled that pretty well too. Everybody slept on the plane for the first flight, but we went from like New York to Philly And I think that's it was a 30-minute flight at most. So everybody kind of got a real quick cat nap there. And then we just watched movies from Philly to Birmingham. So it's
Like real fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we got back to Birmingham, I think we got here around 9 o'clock. It was around 9 o'clock. So we got back in time we were watching several different things. We were going to watch the Birmingham Legion, which is the soccer team here. We were going to watch them, but they ended up postponing it until Sunday, which actually turned into like this fantastic day of sports. So Saturday, I watched the Orioles win their first game of the season against the Yankees. I was super excited because I didn't get to watch the...
How surprising, huh?
It surprised everybody. And then, you know, that turned into a whole tear. So they won against the Yankees on Saturday. I watched that game. That was my first baseball game I got to watch for the season. And then Sunday, because the Legion game got pushed back, it started at 9. The baseball game started or was supposed to start at 1, but it actually got pushed. And then the Birmingham Iron game, which I've got a whole other thing to talk about, but the Birmingham Iron game was supposed to start at 3. So it was supposed to be this like perfect 9 to 11, 12 to 3, 3 to 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Day. And I mean, it ended up being a great day of for my sports teams. The Orioles won on Sunday again, so they got a two-game streak going at that point. The Birmingham Legion ended up scoring their first goal in club history, and they won their first game in club history. And then the Birmingham Iron ended up winning as well. So it's like everybody I was watching, I was winning. It was just like a really cool weekend. So,
well, good deal.
What'd you guys
do? Sounded like it was very, very, very busy, huh?
Busy in the fact of, like, I had a lot of things back-to-back, but I really wasn't doing anything all day Sunday. Literally, I was posted up on the couch watching TV. Like, there was nothing going on.
Yeah. So. Well, I had you beat.
Yeah.
We had JoJo, our granddaughter, first birthday.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Birthday party.
Yeah, did you guys do the whole smash cake thing where she takes it and just demolishes a cake?
Nah, not really, but it was pretty interesting because we had a bunch of kids, of course, over and stuff. But we were up the night before with your sisters, Casey and Anna, doing the decoration, and they were having a few sips of wine, and I was having a few sips of the beers, and we were up. I mean, my night usually is... 9 o'clock, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I think 9 o'clock is being gracious. You're usually out by like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, pretty much. And that night with the girls, with them decorating, me staying up and just talking and everything and playing some music and this stuff.
Little Joss Stone action?
It lasted till 1 o'clock. And yeah. So you can take that story from there and... imagine.
Did you guys listen to a little Josh Stone? Is that the type of music
of
you guys were chanting?
of course. Yes. We did. We did, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a standard evening in Virginia over at Joel's house.
That's right.
So yeah, that was kind of the last week. We didn't have the episode because I wasn't dragging a bunch of recording equipment with me to New York, so we took the week off.
And I was disappointed.
Me too. I mean, I was very happy. Like, we get to jump back into it this week, so it's pretty awesome. We didn't really have a great attendance or viewership or whatever last week. I think we've been doing pretty well. I think we had a little over 30 the first episode. We had a little over 40 the second episode. And for whatever reason, and maybe I guess people just didn't care about the NCAA teams that we decided to choose, but they ended up, I think we got less than 10. So we gotta get on that. We're going to go and we're going to try to do a little push to get more people to listen to the podcast and everything like that.
And I'd like to hear their brackets too and see where they ended up too.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you it wasn't Duke in North Carolina.
No, I bet it was. I bet most people did have Duke in North Carolina. And now,
or should I say, yeah. Correct. Yeah.
I'm
like
still,
ours, right?
I'm still.
But you still
good.
You got the Virginia in there, right?
I still have the chance to place in a couple of different. So I only do one bracket a year. I don't do multiple brackets, but I do submit the same bracket to multiple different leagues and stuff that I do. And I still have a chance to come out in the money on a couple of different brackets that I'm doing. So it's, you know, I'm not, I haven't lost all hope. I need Virginia to win. And it's looking pretty grim because Auburn is actually looking really, really good right now. They put it to North Carolina. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. They did get an injury that may impact the game against Virginia, but they still look pretty strong to carry on and go into the national championship game. So I'm hoping I'm wrong in that. I'm hoping that Virginia pulls it out. It's not looking good for my bracket right now.
Yeah, mine either. So we'll move on from that one.
Yeah. So, getting into some baseball. Here's the thing. I know I've gotten a couple of notes about people. They don't really like baseball too much, but it's one of the, I enjoy it. I like it a lot. It's one of the things that I kind of pick up on during the year. So we're going to touch on it a little bit here, but we have, you know, there's the big contracts obviously this year going on, and you know, we're really, really early in the season. We're only into about 6 games of the season. You know, in baseball with statistics, everybody always says small sample size doesn't really dictate what the whole season is going to look like. But small sample size also lend themselves to very, very fun statistics. I know you had a couple of things that you wanted to touch on, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and all of them. So what do you got?
Well, I thought it was pretty funny, you know, with Bryce Harper going to Philly. And his first game back in Washington, a pregame interview where he was talking to one of the reporters, and the reporter was asking him a couple of questions about, you know, coming back to Washington for his first game and everything. And he was a little glassy, teary-eyed during the interview, and he stated that he was really, really looking forward to it and going back to really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And it turned out that the conversation that he was talking about to the reporter was about his wife's pregnancy and not seeing his old teammates, you know, or the return back to Washington. Well, I think he pretty much has put Washington in his rearview mirror.
Well, so it's funny you say that though, because I think he screwed up the several different interviews that he was doing, because he had another little snafu that he was talking about. He was like, "Yeah, I can't wait to bring a championship back to DC," and everybody was like,
"Yeah,
what?"
I did see that.
It's like you were looking to bring a championship to DC, and he, you know, obviously he was flustered, and I think he just got caught off guard. But he's clearly having a day with the media. But he's been known for that. I don't know if you remember when he in the All-Star game last year, when he did not the game, the home run derby, when they were interviewing him for that. So his dad actually pitched the home run derby to him. And they were standing with the person, the reporter who was doing the interview, and he's, I forget the whole context of it, but basically he called his dad his husband and like got he just got completely caught off guard, and
my husband's pitching to me.
Yeah, he's clearly not very good under the gun with, you know, reporters just barreling down at him. So, you know, I think it's probably going to be pretty funny, and they'll probably try to exploit it a little bit more during the season to see if they can get him to say some more off the wall crazy stuff. So, but he had a pretty good day, or has had a pretty good season thus far. The stats I have are from the game yesterday. He went 3 for 5 and had a massive home run. I don't know if you saw it. I'm sure it was all over ESPN.
I did.
And the bat flip that he did on the end of that home run was just ridiculous. Now, the thing is, the crazy part is, he actually flipped his bat towards the Nats dugout. And so,
I didn't know that's that, yeah.
I think that that's probably just old hat. He's used to that when that was his dugout for as long as it was. So I think they'll probably give him some
really?
Of the
you believe that? You yeah. Know? No, he did that.
I don't know, man. They didn't. I didn't check today, but I did. I don't believe that that they threw at him today. So he, you know, if he got away with that, he got pretty lucky. So
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I did like the little bat flip though.
I mean, it was
And
good.
and it's a good thing that they allow those kind of things to go on, to not give him, an ejection or whatever
Oh, well, the
over
umps aren't going to
something over
eject
something
him,
that
but
simple.
yeah, but the thing is it's one of those unspoken rules that you're not supposed to like be all crazy about the your home runs and stuff like that. So,
Well,
and that's when that happens, a lot of times you'll see that guys get hit by a pitch shortly after that. Their next time at
they
bat.
got that they're going to be seeing each other more in the season coming up,
Oh yeah,
so
for sure. I mean, it's
yeah,
yeah. So I think it's good for baseball. I love it myself
I do too.
personally. I've got my little scoreboard up here, and it looks like the Nationals beat the Phillies today. So final was 9-8. So that's pretty neat.
Okay.
Coming up right there. I just happened to look over, and it's just talking about the Nationals and Phillies over there.
Yeah.
So what do you got on our boy Manny Machado and Mike Trout and Arenado and all them?
Well, what I'd like to do, is just to give a little insight as to the early part of the season. And of course, I know that it's a long, long season and it's really grueling. When you play 162 games throughout the season, with the injuries and the traveling and everything, that definitely wears on you, And right now, as early as it is, I just want to do a little quick comparison, and we won't, stay long on this one, but it's just a quick comparison, with Bryce Harper. I think he's getting the last laugh right at the moment this early in the season, and with him, he only has 14 at bats, but I'll give a couple other quick at bats with the other players. With Harper at 14 at bats, he right now is just below 500. His batting average is 429. He's got three home runs with five ribbies, and his on base percentage right now is 556%. You look at Mr. Mike Trout from the Angels, who I respect so much. He's got 17 at bats and he's batting 294 right now. Once again, I understand it's an early season, early in the season, but they got to pick up just a little bit, in my opinion. His home runs, from what I've seen right now, is at zero home runs. And at three RBIs, on base percentage, OBP is right at 480. Mr. Machado, 217. As much money as these players are getting paid, they got to step up to the plate, and start out of the starting gate quick, in my opinion. He's batting 217. I believe he got one home run today, which would give him, I don't know who was on base, but originally I had him at one ribby at, and this is at 23 at bats. Mr. Arenado, 25 at bats. Not too bad of a batting average at 280, but zero home runs. There's a player called Colton Wong, who plays second base with the St. Louis Cardinals with 18 at bats. He's averaging 500, three home runs, six ribbies, on base percentage at 550. Then you got two more players: Trey Mancini, 20 at bats with the Orioles, two home runs, averaging 450 with five ribbies. OBP at 429, and my boy, Mr. Bellinger, Cody Bellinger, 28 at bats. He's got more at bats than any of those players that I just mentioned. He's averaging 429, five home runs, 12 ribbies, and OBP at 448. So that, if he's seeing that ball like that, it's looking like he's looking at an MVP season, to be honest with you. And he's very capable, in my opinion, of doing that.
Yeah. Some other players right now too that are having pretty good starts to the season. Again, it is early. We have very, very small sample size, but it's another guy actually from the Orioles,
yeah,
who came out of nowhere. This guy was in the Blue Jays organization for his entire career, and then now he's over with the Orioles at this point. And he is currently batting 350 with a on-base percentage of 381, and he's got a six-game hitting streak going. So he's had a hit in every single game since the beginning of the season, which is fantastic. It's a thing that the Orioles need to do to be able to stay competitive, is they've got to be able to get the bat on the ball and start getting some runners in scoring position to be able to stay on top of the momentum that they've got going now. Now, granted, today they did lose.
Yeah, that's probably why right at the moment that Baltimore's 4-1.
Yeah. And, well, they lost, so they're 4-2 technically today. But,
Okay.
Manny Machado is, using him as a kind of the example there. He always kind of has a slow start, and then he starts to catch his rhythm sometime just before the All-Star break. And, I mean, also, there are a lot of things that stats have a difficult time kind of portraying is the defensive capabilities of a player. And Nolan Arenado and Manny Machado both are players where that comes into play, where their baseball, IQ is so high and they are so good. And, this past couple of days, the Orioles have been able to have really felt having Manny Machado not in in the infield. We've had a couple of errors from third base. We've had some balls where Manny Machado would have caught it and been able to fire the ball across and get the out. And, those are now base runners because the guy that we have over there now is not as capable as Manny. But he's still doing great. He's, sometimes you'd rather have that guy who can stop it on the line and prevent the extra base hit. And they just go down there, and now it's a single. So it's that's not too bad.
Yeah,
I agree. I think what we'll see as the season kind of goes on, we will see those numbers kind of pick up. 290 something average for Mike Trout is pretty fantastic. I mean, 300 is where you've got really, really the studs, the all stars, the all time bests are in that. That range. So I'm still liking what I see from Trout. The Angels, though, right now are not doing so well. Just as a team in general, they're in last place. They're 1-5. So hoping that they'll be able to turn that around a little bit. Let's see some other notes from the week. Again, more Orioles kind of things. Hyde got his first managerial win, which was a big deal. It was pretty fun in the locker room. They got back there and they showered him with beer. He was in some. There was a video that was posted on Instagram where he was in. It was basically like a shopping cart. I'm sure it's intended for like towels or something. But they had him and they showered him with beer, and it was just it's a big deal. It's fun. It's something that keeps the morale up in the the clubhouse, especially for a team they're expecting to lose. Over 100 games this year, but right now they're doing great and having fun playing baseball.
And what I think with Coach Hyde is with the team with the Orioles, with the young team, is they don't really have a superstar. And sometimes with a superstar on your team comes egos.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And with them having a young team like that, I think the camaraderie and everything is going to gel just a little bit. I don't think they're going to be in the cellar of that division this year. That's yet to be seen, but right now they're off to a good start. And, with being on the road, I guess, 4-2 now instead of 4-1.
Yes.
They're off to a good start, and that gives the young team good, to where they're going, we can actually compete against some of these teams like the Yankees, who they've already played. They're playing the Blue Jays now.
Correct. Yep.
And that gives them confidence. And when they get confidence like that, they buy in to the coach's philosophy of what he wants to do and what we need to do. And, you know, it's sometimes it's just the basics.
Yeah. And it's kind of
baseball.
It's funny you say that, because one thing I was going to touch on right now is there was a lot of criticism on Hyde's decision to pull Hess out in the seventh inning during a no-hitter bid. He had a no-hitter going through 6.1 innings on 82 pitches. He didn't look like he was tiring at all. He still looked really good in the stretch. But there were a couple of things that kind of went into that decision. You know, Hess had pitched in Thursday's game. He had pitched around 40 pitches already. So, you know, it was on short,
43.
Yep, correct. Short rest. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate it for Hess specifically, but I think it's a gutsy call for Hyde to do an unfavorable thing and, you know, make the call based on what the organization has said they're going to do. They're going to start playing baseball based off the statistics. They're going to start playing baseball based off of what the data tells them. And ultimately, that tells them that, hey, you know, this guy just pitched 40 pitches a couple days ago. He's at 82 right now. We don't, you know, it's early in the season. We're winning. There's no reason to go out there and blow his elbow out.
Now, good decision, in my opinion.
Good decision to pull him. I think that there was an extremely poor decision to put in Araujo, I think is how you pronounce it. He literally gave up a two-run blast right after they put him in, and the Jays were able to put together a nice rally, and they came back pretty close to tying it up.
Orioles still won it, though. Okay.
They did. They snuck one out, and it was a fun game to watch. But I don't think that my heart can take too many more games like that. So Hyde needs to check himself there.
Once again, it goes back to the long season.
Yeah, and he made a questionable. In my opinion, he also made a questionable decision leaving Givens in the previous. I think it was the previous night. When they were playing New York, it was on Sunday. So, you know, the verdict is still out on how Hyde is going to manage his pitching staff and the bullpen and everything. But it will be very interesting as the season goes on to see how he handles that. On the flip side, you have a team that is doing absolutely horrible, and that's Boston. You know, they're... Their starters are just getting shelled. I think they had the one trip through the rotation, the first trip through the rotation. They've got 32 runs allowed in 21 innings, including 11 home runs. I mean, that they most likely will not continue down that trajectory. It's probably a little bit of spring training kind of shaking that off, and it might be cold. But I think that they'll turn that around, but it's just – they can't do that. Not the amount of money that they've got on that staff and the fact that they're coming off of a World Series win last year. They really cannot, they can't do that. I mean, it just looks completely silly for the organization.
And I was looking at some of the stats on that with Boston being at 1-5, scoring out of the six games, just 24.
Right.
And given up 42 of, you know, a differential of 18. So that, you know, once again, early in the season, but that shows you whether it's their starting pitcher, whether it's the bullpen or the mid relief pitchers, there's something that needs to be corrected in that part of it. It might even be the batting, you know, but that's yet to be seen. But Baltimore, their run differential with scoring as opposed to giving up runs was right at, I think it was like one or two runs of the differential.
Yeah.
But the record shows being 18 runs, you know, behind or one or two ahead is a difference of 4-2 and 1-5. So, right.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's a couple of different, you know, excuses coming out of the Red Sox camps. You know, they're saying, well, you know, their starters didn't get a lot of work in real game situations. And, you know, honestly, for baseball players in general, I'm getting a little sick of that kind of excuse, saying that these guys, you know, when they don't get their starts through spring training, that it affects them. Now, the only example of this that it really does kind of, back that opinion was Alex Cobb last year with the Orioles. Pre-All-Star break, he had a 6.41 ERA with a 313 average against. And after the All-Star break, so after he kind of got into the groove of things, he was pitching a 2.56 ERA with a 2.32 average against. And so you saw a massive and drastic difference in his ability to pitch. But my thing is that these guys are professional athletes, right? And they've got most of them have millions of dollars. They have the resources and the opportunity to put something together to be able to simulate real game situations and actually, you know, play to their full potential. I think it's somewhat of a cop-out to say that, you know, oh, if a pitcher doesn't get all of their, you know, spring training, you're going to see that a lot with Keuchel this year and Kimbrel. Both of them have missed all of spring training because they're not signed with any team. They may not get signed until through the entire month of April. And so you may not see those guys pitching on a squad until sometime in late June if they're going to need to have some time to get used to everything. It's going to get real interesting for those guys.
And some of the batters, if they have to resort to putting it on a tee, then that's what they need to do, unless they get paid.
I mean, but yeah, they have the opportunity. You want to? You could go to any AAA park and pay one of those pitchers, pay some of those top pitchers, you know, a paltry sum, not even a lot, because those guys aren't getting paid a lot to begin with. I'm sure anything would help, and you could get them to pitch you real world situation pitches and throw you a bullpen, or batting practice rather, to be able to continue and be, you know, at your top performance and your best shape and everything. So I don't know. I think it's BS. Let's see. One other thing, as far as the NFL is considered. I'll start with the AAF. I don't know if you saw the news, the AAF.
I did.
Ceasing operations due to the majority stake owner. He decided that since the NFLPA was not going to allow the league access to the practice squad, which is basically, you know, the backups to the backups in the NFL, that he was like, we're just going to shut this thing down. And it's unfortunate because I thought for sure the league had some pretty good traction. There were games for the San Antonio Commanders who had, around 20,000 in attendance at the game, not to mention however many were streaming and watching it online and everything. Now, the other teams didn't really have that much of a following. I know that the Birmingham Iron, I think they pulled in somewhere around, you know, anywhere from 7 to 12,000 people per game. But that's still not...
It's probably more than what the Oakland Raiders averaged last year.
Yeah, maybe. So I'm a little bit sad about that. I really enjoyed watching, the local regional players. They were targeting, specifically the AAF was targeting regions that did not have professional football teams already in place. So that was nice. And it was just kind of nice to have football after the Super Bowl when there's not really much football going on. I love football. It's like one of my favorite sports to watch. Now, the flip side of that was, it wasn't exactly super exciting football. Most of the time you were watching professional NFL-level defenses playing against college-level offenses, and you get to see how that kind of plays out. You have low-scoring games, not a lot of really good receptions. And so,
that's not what the fans are really looking at.
No, they want to see flashy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is I've been watching periodically the NFL mock drafts that have going on. I know it's still way early to really be getting into any of that specifically, but I keep seeing that the Giants are looking at trading away their number 7 overall and their I think it's number 16 or 17 overall to trade up to be able to get a quarterback this year. And I really, really hope that is not the case. In my, couch coach opinion, mm-hmm. I think that the Giants would be much better off going and trying to establish a strong defensive position.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
And taking all of their picks this year, not all of them, but definitely the first two or three rounds of picks and establishing a strong defensive front, right? Not just the big heavies up front, but also outside linebackers that can rush and get into the backfield and disrupt a quarterback's timing and everything.
Some of them say, you know, give Eli an extension.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, sure. Give him a year. I mean, he's a functional quarterback. So, you know, do that. And then you're not going to be a winning football team going into 2019 or the 2020 season. So, you know, you're going to be a top pick coming into the draft the following year. And Tua Tagovailoa is going to be available at that time. So it's going to be good.
So what you're saying is take Nick Bosa over Kyler Murray?
No. If it were the Giants, yes, most certainly.
And what pick do y'all have?
Right now, I think it's number 6 overall. Taking Bosa early on would be fantastic for the Giants. I don't think that they're going to have the ability to, obviously, to trade up to do that.
To trade up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to see them trade up to take someone like that. I'd prefer them to just take the defensive players that will fall to them at the position, you know, at the overall position where they're already at. I think you will be able to pick up some very, very good defensive players at those, you know, picking spots that they currently have. So I'd prefer not to see them trade the draft picks away at all. I'd prefer to see them trade somewhere else internally. You know, if it's players for picks or even future picks to be able to trade up. But I think that they're in a good position right now.
Yeah, right now they're looking at Rashawn Gary from Michigan, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, if they do that. I've seen a lot of different reports, though, saying that the Giants are looking at possibly trading away to move up to get Haskins, the quarterback. So out of Ohio State, I believe. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. There's still a lot of time left. A lot of looks at these guys. So we'll see as the time kind of presses on.
Well, that might be a good idea too, because he's expected to go out of the top 10.
Right.
Possibly 11 or 12, and the Bengals are looking for a quarterback. And if he's still available, which he probably, in my opinion, probably won't be available in the 11th pick, mm-hmm. then we'll see.
Yeah. And the final news story that we have this evening, I thought that you might want to touch on a little bit. Lakers completely shut down LeBron. I believe they're reporting that it has to do with a growing pool, and I was kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
Do you really want my opinion?
Absolutely, that's what we're here for.
Because I'm from the old school, and to be shutting down, I don't care who your player is, whether he's your top notch player or another player who's just sitting on the bench who hasn't played much that comes off the bench as a number 6 player, you just don't shut him down. That's my opinion. You know, he's not coming out of college to sign a contract and say, let's just shut him down. He's going to be a first-round pick, so we're not going to the NCAA tournament. We're not going to NIT. Let's just shut him down so he can play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that word was just never heard of, shutting down a player. From Wilt Chamberlain, Dr. J, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. I don't care what your name was back in 10, 15 years ago. You never heard the word along with their names of shut down.
Yeah.
And you hear it all the time now.
Well, okay, so I'll play the devil's advocate on that, though. The reason why is because sports are becoming more and more of a very, very high dollar business, right? You're dealing with situations
and your fans, and let me stop you real quick. Your fans are paying tickets to see these players during the game, and they're not playing. I mean, you got Kyrie Irving, you got Anthony Davis, you got, you know, Joel Embiid. You got all these players that are not playing because their pinky toe is hurting, but yet they're paying top dollar to see these players. You know, you got these 8-9 year old kids going out there that their parents are taking them out to the game, and they're not playing during that night. Well, how depressing is that for the kid not to see their star player not play because his little pinky toe was hurting.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, though, little Timmy's mommy or daddy or whoever's taking him to the game should probably be paying a little bit of attention and set him up so he doesn't get so much disappointment when he gets to the game, knowing that if you're going to go watch the Lakers play, that LeBron James isn't going to be playing because he hurt his groin. So
that's okay. But little Timmy's parents are the ones that are paying for the tickets. So. So LeBron can get his $60 million a year paycheck.
Yeah, no, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. I don't really know the extent of the injury. I don't know if they're utilizing it as kind of a way to put him on the bench and not get too much criticism behind it. If he's legitimately hurt, I've pulled a groin before, and it's no joke. It is not very easy to run around or even walk. So if it's legit, I can see why they would do that. But even if it's only a mild one or a real, real minor kind of pull or whatever, I can see them wanting to protect their investment and wanting him to, they wasted their first year with LeBron. You could say waste. It's hard to say waste. There was a lot of injuries that were involved. In the grand scheme of things, reset, come back, hit it hard next year. So that's kind of where I stand on it. I don't really have too much for it.
Sure.
So, but other than that, do you have any other news stories you want to touch on?
At the moment, no. That's no? Good.
Awesome. Well, that was another fantastic week kind of catching up. It's one of my favorite parts of the week. So, So thank you very much.
And thank you. And it looks like the championship game is April 8th?
Yes, for the NCAA?
Yeah.
Not the championship game, is it? Oh, yeah, it is. It's on Monday, isn't it? Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, it will be Monday. The Saturday is the Final Four, so yeah, you're right. It will be Monday, so we will be watching.
So we can do a little touch bases on that, and once again, just talk about how your brackets were in mine, and that's probably why some of the listeners were like, they really sucked on those brackets.
Definitely.
Yeah, like I said, I like to see what their brackets were. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love you, and I will.
All right, love you too.
Talk to you next Wednesday.
You sure will.